This is Tasty Wim Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and welcome to Year 18. We have two guests on this week's show. James Lester will finish the show. He is one of the founders of Sons of Vancouver Whiskey, makers of Canadian Whiskey of the Year in 2023 at the National Awards in Victoria. And from that point on, as James describes, things got a tad busy. I love the attitude of Sons of Vancouver, making whiskey for themselves that others like. You have to stay in touch with them because there's not a lot of bottles being made, and every one of them sells out. And congratulations, by the way, to James Lester and his bride and their families. James and his bride got married in Euclid and spent their honeymoon in Mexico City. Oh, a couple of thousand in one, millions in the other. So we're going to talk about several new releases from Sons of Vancouver. And as always, every new release causes a lineup at the front door and online. So James Lester, part two of this Tasty Wim Radio. Part one, a great friend from Slovakia, Michael Mosny, who is the winemaker and co-founder of Winemaker's Cut in the District Wine Village in Oliver. He saw Jason Priestley and myself traveling through the Okanagan, one of our segments on Hollywood and Vines. So liked it, he and Martina, his bride, came to the Okanagan, toured, went home, sold everything, and moved lock, stock, and barrel to Oliver and started Winemaker's Cut. They had been making wines in Slovakia for others, for much larger conglomerates, and they wanted to make their own expression of what they felt wine to be, the Winemaker's Cut. A couple of years after they arrived and started making and releasing Winemaker's Cut, I did an interview with him in Victoria at a pour, and he told me the story of how he and Martina got to the Okanagan. And so he said, why don't we make a wine? And we did. We made a Bordeaux blend called, well, Q&A, and then a Northern Rhone white, Marsan Roussan Viognier. And there's a new Q&A release coming, several actually, but one that we've never had before. And I'll let Michael announce what he's bottling and what you'll find in the next couple of years from Q&A. By the way, a really nice note, the small town where they were making their wines in Slovakia, Dolna Krupka, was allegedly a place where Beethoven went to write and compose, and they fell in love with classical music. Mozart, Beethoven, Haydn, Puccini, Verdi, and others. So now all of those composers can be heard in the vineyards at Winemaker's Cut. If you hear it drifting across the valley, that's where it's coming from. All right, here we go. Michael Mosny and James Lester. This segment of Tasty Room Radio is brought to you by Best Coast Distillers. Thinking about something lighter? Try Island Vibe, their tea and lemon-fused vodka made for sunny days. Or go tropical with Tropical Vibe, triple distilled vodka infused with tropical tea, papaya, mango, hibiscus, orange, and coconut. Don't miss Wildfire Whiskey, cinnamon and Madagascar vanilla grain whiskey, crafted to support Vancouver Island firefighters with every bottle sold. Or their signature Best Coast Cold Brew Coffee Whiskey, with grains grown on the Saanich Peninsula, with just a touch of Madagascar vanilla. Thinking about Best Coast is perfect for the holiday season. With flat rate shipping, they deliver coast to coast at bestcoastdistillers.com. I'm looking at winemaker's hands here. Michael, I don't see any scars. I don't see any cuts.
I'm wearing gloves, really good gloves.
Oh, good. You've learned.
Because I have two young kids, you know, so I have to watch myself.
Michael Mosny is a co-founder, the man who started Winemaker's Cut in the Okanagan, Dead Man's Lake, and he is the winemaker, my friends. District Wine Village in Oliver. Also, the opera room is right next door from Winemaker's Cut. It's Nolo, and we'll get to that in just a second. Do people understand the concept of District Wine Village now? Are they getting the idea that these aren't just tasting rooms, these are wineries in each of them?
Definitely, they do, you know. I think after 4 years the District Wine Village is open, it definitely became a hotspot, you know, just like you have this, you know, hotspot in, for example, West Kelowna, you know, Mission Hill Winery, Penticton Poplar Grove Winery. I think for South Okanagan it became the District Wine Village, definitely.
So for some people who can't do the Okanagan, they're not going to go north to south, south to north, that you can actually get a sense of the Okanagan doing those wineries.
Absolutely, and it's open all year round. Not only in the summer and spring and fall.
How's the opera room doing next door?
The opera room is doing great. You know, there is definitely a lot of people that would like to try some wine style alternatives or low or no alcohol wines. And you know, I'm really happy that we decided to open it.
Now I noticed that I wrote down my list, my roadmap, so to speak, of all of the releases I wanted to talk about, but or ask about. I'm sure some of them are sold out. Some are you in harvest now. By the way, how was the growing season?
The growing season has been exciting, and now when we are already harvesting the fruits of our labor, I couldn't be happier.
I hear just some people, in fact, saying they're doubling their production.
Some people are doubling, yes. Of course, we had to watch the crop in the vineyard because we don't want to overcrop put too much pressure on the vines after two devastating years. But, you know, so we are not really watching the quantities, but overall, I'm extremely happy.
Well, this is good because I know you're concerned about each and every year. The vineyards that you lost to cold snap, did any of them recover along the way?
Well, some of them are slowly recovering. Our Cabernet Franc is slowly recovering. Syrah, I was expecting much worse, but there is something coming back. But we will have to do a lot more replanting. But unfortunately, we had certain vineyards that we leased out, you know, from different growers, and those ones didn't make it. So we basically gave it back to the owners, and they are planting something else.
Have you decided to replant those specific varietals, or have you decided to maybe go into a different varietal area?
You know, we are just going to probably replant with what we have in the vineyard, so we never exist in cuttings. So it's not going to take us, you know, only 1 or 2 years, 2 or 3 years, sorry, but it's going to take us much longer. But we decided to take this approach because we want to have in the vineyard the same that is growing there. We don't want to import anything, any new plantings.
Syrah took a hit.
It did, definitely. But luckily, we had a really good crop and excellent vintage 2022 that we are just releasing right now. So the 23 and 24 we are just going to basically skip.
What did it do for your heart and soul when you walked through the vineyards and saw green?
Oh man, you know, that's actually a good question. You know, I was just enjoying the moment. I didn't want to be too happy, because if you are too excited, something else can disappoint you in a month from there. But so I sort of like, let's enjoy the moment. Let's just go day by day and enjoy it.
And what did particularly well? Any varietals?
Sauv Blanc. The quality of Sauv Blanc is outstanding. And that's by far my most favorite white wine varietal, so I'm super happy. And the second varietal, of course, the Gruner Veltliner. Yeah. Did really well.
The Gruner. Which came from where initially?
Well, the Gruner came from Slovakia, you know. So I took them to the laboratory and they did a tissue culture. Everything is clean, so there is nothing to worry about.
Gruner.
Yes.
Home field advantage. All right, so the Crafted in BC. You know, there's been some grumblings about people coming to the tasting counter saying, "Oh, I'm not going to taste anything. No wines from Washington, Oregon, or America." And you explain the story about the cold snaps wiping out the vintages, and how they made a deal with the government and federal government, provincial, to access fruit from the United States. And Crafted in BC, which is what they called it, Crafted in BC. Now that we're past that, how are you feeling about it?
Well, I feel that it had to be done. There was no other option. If we wouldn't do it, I would have to lay down a lot of people that are working for us, and I would have to rethink the whole strategy of the winery. So it definitely helped us. And I think I would just summarize it in one sentence that we also put on our label. We put on our label a sentence, made in Canada, from using imported grapes from Washington State, in wake of losing our own crop due to frost damage in 2024. Thank you for your support. So whoever didn't get it, you know, unfortunately, I probably won't change his mind, but I think the vast majority of people get it and they supported us.
Did you enjoy working with someone else's fruit?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed working with those farmers. They are absolute professionals. It's super fun to deal with them.
Michael Mosney, Winemaker's Cut, the Okanagan. You can find him at District Wine Village in Oliver. Of the Rosé, the Gruner, the Muscat, the Sauv Blanc, and the Sparkling, how much is left?
Well, we have a good amount of Sparkling left because we are just slowly releasing it. The Sauv Blanc is basically sold out. Rosé is down to a couple pallets. Muscat is pretty much everything is almost gone. Yeah, but we had to push throughout the summer. Of course, we had to explain customers what's going on. But, you know, I think we did well.
And there's a second year now been added to this program.
Yes, there has been.
Are you going to take advantage of that?
No. because it's simply too late, you know.
They waited too long.
Oh, way too long.
Yes, well, you're not alone in that one. How did it affect the Nolo?
It didn't affect at all, because I want to keep producing it.
Because, I mean, you're making ciders, rosé, incognito blanc, spritzers and piquettes still?
So the idea of making no and low alcohol wines, we didn't have the idea when we got the frost damage, you know. We had it like 2 years before. Yeah. Because we saw that the customers are changing. I always see, you know, I always try to look at younger generation, how are they going to be, you know. That's why we decided to do it. You know, of course, the first year is just like something like a trial period, you know, to see where it goes. But I'm super happy that we made the decision.
And how much is left of the lineup?
Well, the piquettes are pretty much almost gone. The rosé, non-alc rosé, is almost pretty much gone. And the white, we still have some left for the winter season. But the best thing is that we are going to recreate what we created anytime.
The wines were the blanc and the rosé, right?
Yes. That's the non-alcoholic or de-alcoholized wines.
That's tricky to do, just to make a rosé that doesn't just lay there. You want it to taste well.
Well, it's challenging, you know, but I love challenge, you know. God, I don't know why, but I love challenge.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Best Coast Distillers. Thinking about something lighter? Try Island Vibe, their tea and lemon-fused vodka made for sunny days. Or go tropical with Tropical Vibe, triple distilled vodka infused with tropical tea, papaya, mango, hibiscus, orange, and coconut. Don't miss Wildfire Whiskey, cinnamon, and Madagar Vanilla Grain Whiskey, crafted to support Vancouver Island firefighters with every bottle sold. Or their signature Best Coast Cold Brew Coffee Whiskey, with grains grown on the Saanich Peninsula, with just a touch of Madagar Vanilla. Thinking about Best Coast is perfect for the holiday season. With flat rate shipping, they deliver coast to coast at bestcoastdistillers.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Winemakers Cut in the District Wine Village in Oliver. Their latest releases, crafted in BC, are now available for you to enjoy. They include some of the favorite wines, Sauvignon Blanc, Rosé, Muscat, Chardonnay, Grüner Veltliner, and a unique sparkling Grüner Veltliner. These wines are already featured in top Canadian restaurants, and we are offering you a chance to experience them firsthand. And keep an eye on the no and low alcohol offerings in the Opera Room right next door. You can find the wines themselves at the District Wine Village in Oliver and on the web at winemakerscut.ca. Michael Mosney, by the way, the winemaker and the founder of Winemakers Cut, Dead Man's Lake, the District Wine Village, Oliver, my friends, a sponsor of this show and the man who made Q&A wines, and we'll get to that in just a second. The difference between Bohemian wines and the Boho.
So Bohemian wines are... The name Bohemian means unconventional, but it's also Bohemian. It means like something special, you know. So that's why we call it Bohemian, because it's basically our reserve wines, made a little bit in an unconventional way. Because usually reserve wines are the wines that are aging way too long in a barrel. They're way too heavy. In our world, it's not. They're simply made in a different way, you know, from other vineyards that we were farming. Boho wines. Boho means informal. Yeah. So it's basically simple house red, house white field blends.
I think your website says great wine for a Tuesday.
Oh, Wednesday, Monday morning, anytime.
Now the Bohemian wines, we can talk about the Cuvée Rouge, the Merlot, the Cab Franc, or the Syrah, Petit Verdot, the Tempranillo, and the Cuvée Blanc. But are they still in play?
Well, we still have some that we have released from 2022 vintage because, of course, they were aging. So right now we're releasing Cabernet Franc, Bohemian Merlot, Bohemian Tempranillo, and pretty soon we are going to release also Bohemian Rouge.
Were you a fan of Cabernet Franc before you arrived in Canada?
I wasn't, no. I didn't taste that many Cabernet Francs in my life.
And how you like it?
Oh, I love it. Especially this year, 2025, is going to be interesting because we are going to produce a whole lot of Bohemian Cabernet Franc.
And it's hearty.
It's hearty and it's delicious. It can be made in so many different ways. It can be made lighter, fruitier. It can be heavier. It can be in a midway, you know. It's just a phenomenal varietal.
When I first started this show 17, 18 years ago, it was only a blending red. That was it. That was its role. And then someone stepped forward and said, no, I'm going to make a single. And it was fantastic.
Just like Malbec used to be a blending grape, and suddenly Argentina is killing it.
Petit Verdot?
Petit Verdot, exactly. Yeah.
Are you going to do a single Petit?
No, we don't. No. We did in the past, you know, but after the frost damage, we just simply couldn't.
So there are Bohemian wines to be had?
Absolutely, definitely.
Boho wines to be had?
Boho wines only this year. We are starting with white, which is a white simple blend. Yeah. And the red will have to wait a little bit until our vineyards recover.
What have I missed from that list so far?
I think that's everything. Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Sparkling, the whole sparkling program.
Sparkling program was our important part of our portfolio. But again, unfortunately, because of the 23 and 24 frost, we had to, you know, lower the production. But we still have the Sparkling Gruner, what I was talking about. And then this year we are going to continue with Sparkling Sauvignon Blanc.
Michael Mosny, Winemaker's Cut, the Okanagan. You can find him at District Wine Village in Oliver. When we come back, we're talking about Q&A. Okay, Michael, you were kind enough to, when you and I and Jason Priestley got together, and you saw what we were doing, and you moved yourself and your family to Oliver and started to make wines. It wasn't just an infatuation. You knew exactly what you were doing, and you sourced us out. You loved Oliver, and you loved what the valley looked like. And in celebration of that, you and I and Jason got together, and it was your idea to make a Q&A of red Bordeaux blend. Is it in production?
Of course it is production. You know, we did some changes, of course, again, because of the frost damage. But right now we are pretty close to release our 2022 Roussanne Marsanne Viognier, which is the second release, and also pretty close to release the 2021 Q&A.
How much did the Roussanne Marsanne Viognier change? Because, you know, I'm crazy about the wine.
Well, it changed, like the 2021 sold out really fast. But there is a, I would say, like quite a big difference between 21 and 22, because the 22 was just an incredible vintage. So I really cannot wait you to try it. I brought you a bottle, unlabeled bottle. It's in a bag.
Thank you.
So I can't wait for you to taste it.
I'll take it home. I'll chill it up. So you used different vineyards this time around, different growers. Did that change?
No, the 2022 is still the same.
Still the same.
Still the same, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
And what happened to it with the year in bottle?
Well, of course, Roussanne Marsanne Viognier are grapes that are aging perfectly. You know, that's one of the very few whites that can age even a decade. So we have a couple bottles left that we are aging. We want to see where it goes. I think it is definitely only improving. It's only improving.
How many cases can we expect of the RMV?
220.
Well, got to go find that. Michael Mosny, Winemaker's Cut, the Okanagan. You can find him at District Wine Village in Oliver. Now, what about the Bordeaux blend, the red?
The Bordeaux blend, well, actually, the 2021 vintage is in a bottle for 2 years now. And again, it's aging amazingly, you know. I think the 2021 vintage was a little bit firmer when we put it in a bottle. It's not like the 2020 that was a really hot vintage in Okanagan. But the 21 is something like more like, definitely has this more European feel, you know, this old world style where you're not ashamed of the tannins, because they are simply part of the wine, and that's what makes this wine so special.
It's got to find its customer. It has to find its fan. And I keep telling people, I have no problem in recommending anybody go and find Q&A wines. And if your store doesn't have it, they don't know about it, have a talk to them.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of people that became fans of Q&A wine. They are reordering, and we are, of course, happy about it. And I think we did it. I think we left a mark, this definitely became an icon wine on Canadian wine scene.
It was wonderful.
Awesome.
It was wonderful. What are you pouring today at the table?
Today we are pouring our Sauv Blanc, our Gruner Sparkling, our Rosé, and three reds, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Syrah.
That's has the portfolio shrunk? Because it was wide.
It shrunk a little bit, but we also, you know, the wines that, you know, found its fans, for example, our wine club members, we simply, the moment we release them, they are basically allocated. So there are certain wines that we are going to focus on, like a much higher production, and certain wines that we are going to keep only for our wine club members and newsletter fans.
Michael, any surprises coming?
Any surprises coming? Every year is a surprise, of course. I'm excited to release the 2024 Washington State Reds, and one of them will be also a Q&A wine.
I'm sorry?
Yep, it's going to be a Q&A wine. It's going to be Jason's and yours favorite, Sangiovese.
No, no. How did you do that?
Oh, the wine found me. I wasn't looking for it. The wine found me, and when I tasted the grape, when I saw the vineyard, I knew, like, okay, this is it. This is a gift to Jason and Terry.
How long does it have to sit in barrel and bottle?
Oh, I think it's ready to be bottled. Over winter time, you are going to bottle it, and it's going to be ready.
A Sangiovese?
Sangiovese, Q&A.
A crafted in BC Sangiovese?
Crafted in BC.
How much did we make?
It's going to be about 300 cases.
Oh, man. That's fantastic.
Yep. Well, we had to find a replacement, of course. And why to do only Bordeaux blend all the time? You know, the nature showed us, like, hey, come on, do something different. So we did.
When will we see it?
Let's talk about spring or summer next year, you know, because the another crucial part of the winemaking is just put the wine in the bottle and then see how it develops, you know. So I don't want to be too excited. You know, of course, I would release it right away. But, you know, I think let's take time.
Sangiovese. Did you tell Jason?
Of course, he knows, yeah.
Okay. Because he's been all over the place. All right, so now, how do they join the wine club?
Wine club, on our webpage, there is a section, cut member, and you fill out a short form, and that's how you join our wine club.
And what's the website?
Winemakerscut.ca.
And you are at the District Wine Village, right directly across from the Ward's Wine Family Kitchen.
Oh, yeah, one of the best restaurants in the valley.
Now, they've been having 70s and 80s bands come in and play on the stage, right in the middle of all the wineries. How about a classical concert as supported by you?
Oh, I would love that. I was talking to the village owners since the beginning about it. But, of course, the issue is, you know, if you get, like, a rock band, you don't have to pay, you know, 50 people in an orchestra. You pay only 3 or 4 people in a band.
No, I've got the band for you.
Oh, excellent.
The band is called The Fretless.
Okay.
It's 4 of them. It's a string quartet. I'll get the music to you, let you have a listen, because they're perfect for you.
Let's get them on a stage in the village.
Not in the middle of winter.
Nah, probably not.
Because there's nothing more painful than strings in winter. Okay. Just a word to friends of Winemaker's Cut and Q&A. Just a word about the year ahead and what they can expect from you.
Well, first of all, thank you for your support. Thank you for being a fan. Like, this was probably the most important thing. When I see customers buying our wines, they don't even want to try them because they know they trust us. That was my goal to do it. You know, that was my goal, to show customers you can trust us. This is us. Our biggest customer is my living room, my kitchen. You know, so I'm incredibly grateful. And Winemaker's Cut is going to still continue growing in the future years. And we are going to still focus on our main varietals, Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Franc, Grüner Veltliner, hopefully also some Syrah.
For New Year's, what's the bubble that I should be opening from Winemaker's Cut?
It's called 2024 Sparkling. It's 100% Sparkling Grüner Veltliner. I think the only Sparkling Grüner Veltliner in Northern Hemisphere.
And you love Grüner.
Oh, I love it, yeah. It's the wine that I grew up on, you know. And, you know, it's kind of wine for people that, for example, don't like Chardonnay. So it's ideal wine to do a sparkling.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Winemaker's Cut in the District Wine Village in Oliver. Their latest releases, crafted in BC, are now available for you to enjoy. They include some of the favorite wines, Sauvignon Blanc, Rosé, Muscat, Chardonnay, Grüner Veltliner, and a unique sparkling Grüner Veltliner. These wines are already featured in top Canadian restaurants, and we are offering you a chance to experience them firsthand. And keep an eye on the no and low alcohol offerings in the opera room right next door. You can find the wines themselves at the District Wine Village in Oliver and on the web at winemakerscut.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Wine BC. This fall is about slowing down and savoring the moment. From cozy wine dinners to backyard hangouts, fall in BC wine country is for sharing. Stroll through picturesque vineyards, raise a glass with friends, linger over dinner under the stars. Enjoy the season at your own pace with wines that are as memorable as the moments you create. Find your perfect BC wine or winery experience at winebc.com. Hello, friends. My name is Sherry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata bench. And so here I am all these years later. I get to meet people like James Lesser, who I would never have crossed paths in a million years. And now we see each other at least once a year. Sons of Vancouver. Whiskey, whiskey, whiskey. Listen, you did your garage sale last week. it reads like it's a craze show, like it's just Shriners nuts, like Shriners riding on little bikes and stuff. What actually, it's a garage sale, but what mm-hmm. actually happens? I mean, it reads well, but what is it like?
Yeah, first of all, with the garage sale, I just got to give you a rundown, Terry. No looky-loos, no credit cards, no haggling, no like showing up early and just seeing what's out there. It opens at 1 o'clock every year. There's usually 50 people hanging out in the parking lot. We've considered getting one of those deli number counters. You know what I'm talking about? It's all of the mislabeled bottles from the last year. You might think after 10 years, we're really good at labeling, but that is not
the
case.
No. It appears someone's been drinking because on the job, because that's a lot of mislabeling.
It's hard to find good help.
But you are your help.
You didn't have to go there.
Okay.
We the first year we did it, we sold out in 3 minutes. Lots of people were upset, but it's a garage sale, man. You know, no promises.
I think they do.
No, it was
I think your consumers, your the people who are fans of Sons of Vancouver, I think they cut you a lot of slack too.
Oh, I promise you they do. Yeah, in ways that you don't even know. We're so bad. We had a whiskey release like yesterday, and we're like, it goes on sale at 10, and then it didn't go on sale at 10. What a disaster.
Well, anyway, the cigar sale's done and gone. Next comes Christmas. But you have a double release that's going on, which is a big deal. Like when you do two at a time, that's a big deal. Tell us about the bottles.
Yeah. So we're releasing Palm Trees and Tropical Breeze, our 2023 Canadian Whiskey of the Year.
Yeah.
And not to be confusing, we're releasing Palm Trees and a Tropical Storm at the exact same time. Two previous release whiskeys we've done in the past, both coming out at the same time. Tropical Breeze, the award winner, that is in a used Caribbean rum cask. Very approachable, an old Appleton's cask, lots of your traditional rum notes. Tropical Storm, though, which I will tell you, we almost had to change the name because it was right around that time that Jamaica was hit with a hurricane, and very unsympathetic.
Okay.
But it went over okay. No one said anything about it. Tropical Storm is in a Grenada rum cask, which Grenada rum is very difficult to find, but it's super funky. It's wild. It's got cotton candy, blue bubblegum notes. It's like the funkiest of the funky rum in the rum world. Grenade is amazing. So Tropical Storm, that's from a super funky rum cask, little higher ABV as well.
Is this the big deal release of the year?
This is for us. Like for us, Tropical Breeze, the Palm Trees release, is always the biggest one. And then we've doubled it this year by putting two rum cask finish ryes out at the same time. In the distillation process, really early on when rye is coming off the still, it's almost like agricole rum. It's grassy, you know, it's got a lot of like sweet fruity notes, and it kind of lends itself to rum. So we always wanted to do like a rum cask finish, and the Sons of Vancouver sort of signature house style of our rum is really like an overripe pineapple note. It's got big spicy notes, but it's also really tropical fruit. And of course, that lends itself to rum as well.
Is that what you're known for? I thought it was just anything and everything. I know, first of all, I've asked you
this. It's easier to look in the mirror and say my nose is really big.
I asked you this before, and I'll ask you once a year, frankly. And that is, what effect did that Tropical Breeze win in Victoria have on the business and you in general?
We're going to get to the personal question last. It poured gasoline on the fire. I'd like to think, in my humble opinion, I'd like to think that we eventually would have got to the place that we are now. It just happened a lot faster because of that. For me personally, and maybe like the people that work at the distillery, we've tried not to let it affect us too much. It's easy to get into like a constructive headspace where you're making whiskey, you're blending whiskey, and to look at what works really well and to be like, you know, we're going to make this for the awards. Whereas like what you really should be doing is you should be trying to keep your head on straight and say, you know, I want to keep doing the things that I did that led to the award. Like, I want to keep making whiskey that I want to make. I want to keep making whiskey that isn't out there that I think people are really interested in, instead of trying to chase what works and to chase what other people are doing.
Did it change the gender or the age of your faces coming through the door?
Oh man, that is such a good question. No one's ever asked that before. Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's a lot of people who, in the whiskey world especially, you run into these types who are like, if it's scotch, it's great. If it's anything else, it sucks. And then you run into these people that are like always old dudes and like 80 years old. I'm not even kidding. And they come in and they're like, I only drink scotch, but I heard about you guys and it was supposed to be really good. And they always have this like, you know, like their shoulders turn, like they're about to walk out the door and they're like, but I'm gonna give you a chance. And like, so lots of those come in. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely the like 75 plus crowd. Yeah.
James Lester, one of the mixologists, one of the whiskey makers, and one of the partners at Sons of Vancouver, Canadian Whiskey of the Year, my friends, in 2023. Are you making more whiskey? Because you've always apologized saying we may not have this, or it's sold out, or we don't make a lot. I mean, your new releases, what, 200 bottles?
These ones would be they would be over 300
Oh,
anyway.
okay. All
So
right.
we're trying to grow the batches for sure. Great question. Okay. We operate at 100% capacity. Like we mash every week. If someone takes a vacation, you know, no, not everyone can go on vacation at the same time. Number one, if the plane crashes, that's not good for everyone. It's not good for the customers. But we run production every week, so there's always somebody here working. We have no additional capacity. So what's happening this year is we are going to discontinue products that we've been making for 10 years to move that production allocation over to whiskey. Things that we're known for are vodka, our chili vodka. God bless.
That's a crime.
Those will be gone. We are known for our April Fool's products. Those will not be coming back. All of that production, all of that still time, that is moving over to whiskey. That will be additional production that'll come online in 4 or 5 years from now.
What do you want to be, the Amazon of whiskeys?
Much smaller than that.
Okay. But bigger than you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's in business, like, yeah, you're a businessman. Small businesses make money. Big businesses make money. Everyone in the middle hemorrhages money.
So, James, the answer to the question, making bigger batches, is yes. Okay. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Wine BC. This fall, it's about slowing down and savoring the moment. From cozy wine dinners to backyard hangouts, fall in BC wine country is for sharing. Stroll through picturesque vineyards, raise a glass with friends, linger over dinner under the stars. Enjoy the season at your own pace with wines that are as memorable as the moments you create. Find your perfect BC wine or winery experience at winebc.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench. Tasting Room hours at Hillside daily noon to 6 p.m. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 11:30 to 2:30. And 5 to 8:30. Some of the events coming up: a pottery workshop on November the 8th, wreath workshop November the 9th, and holidays at Hillside Winterfest November 21st and 22nd. You can find all the details for Hillside Winery and Bistro at hillsidewinery.ca.
Yes.
Why is Sons of Vancouver so focused on flavor, which is what always catches people's eyes? I mean, people are going to know about a cigarette on a leather jacket, or marshmallows over a campfire, or palm breeze and a tropical breeze, release number three. It gets people's attention. But besides being a hook, what else is it?
Okay. Well, there's so much to unpack here. I think this is the biggest opportunity for small distilleries, is that what happened in the beer world was everyone was able to come out making these great tasting beers because a lot of the regular beer was kind of shit. And so it worked really well for a number of years. And in the distilling world, it's very difficult to compete because your competition, who's been around forever, has been around for 200 years and they make great stuff. And so what we can't compete with is we can't compete with 200 years of history. Is that all these new brands, they need to be competing on flavor. They can't be competing on like tradition, they can't be competing on age, they can't be competing on history. They need to compete from the other side. They need to compete from a really emotive side. And to speak to those customers who don't actually give a shit about 200 years of history, they just want something that tastes great, that is completely new and like, feeds another part of the brain, the other side of the
They
brain.
don't care about 1860.
They don't care about 1860.
Okay. Well, I like your answer there. Thank you. That helps a lot. What is the secret sauce? Never mind. Listen, has the bourbon tariff thing affected you, and how? Good question.
It's a good question. The thing that's really annoying about it is so many people come by the distillery and they're like, "So when are you making a bourbon?" Like it doesn't take 5 years to make it, and like I don't make it today and release it in 2030. And that's just like chasing trends, like as soon as the tariffs go away, then like there probably won't be a demand for it anymore. But it's really cool. Like I probably in May, I was in Kelowna doing sales calls down there. It could have been May. It must have been March because it was early. It was right before bars like were doing their summer menu, and I was down there doing sales calls, and I saw all these bars like they didn't know what was going to happen with the tariffs because they were on, they were off again, they were on again, and they just decided, you know what, we're not going to do this all summer. We're going to get rid of everything American that's on the menu. If there's a bourbon bottle on the shelf, we'll leave it on the shelf, but if we're like serving cocktails and customers are coming in, we're going to replace it with all Canadian stuff. And that was wild. Like I never thought in my life that that would happen. And like for us, like we were busy before, we're still certainly busy now. But all these people are coming out of the woodwork who are like, "Oh yeah, I only drink bourbon, but I gotta find something to replace it now." And it's totally crazy. Like myself, like I've always been a big bourbon drinker, and I'm just like it's just so deep into scotch in a way that would have never happened normally. They say that constraints force you to be creative or something like that. And so, yeah, it's been a really cool opportunity for like us here all trying new products, but definitely for like customers finding us.
And I'm sure it's brought new people through the door as well. I mean, you have a new customer base right there, right there, right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
It doesn't make them better people. Okay, what's new with the distillery? New bodies, new people?
Totally. We're doing a big whiskey release this weekend. One of our long-term partners, Max, has exited the distillery. We gave him a nice buyout offer on his shares, and I hope he's sitting on a beach right now somewhere. No, I'm joking. He's gonna be. I would keep an eye out for Max at a very up-and-coming whiskey distillery somewhere in Canada. I can't say specifically,
Oh, come on.
but Max has exited, so we're doing some interviews. Lots of new people coming through the door to try out for that position. We got our whiskey advent calendar coming out for Christmas. That'll be in October. That'll be out. 24 unique whiskeys or whiskey liqueurs. There's only 52 weeks a year, and we didn't do anything for the first 6 months. So it's a lot of work right now to put all that together.
And releases. What tease us with the releases? What's coming?
But yeah, you and I, we sat down with the Realms of Rye series before, right, Terry? Yeah, all right. People pay a lot of money for that bottle, just so you know. We've had a lot of releases backed up. We did two at once this weekend. Our next release is Realms of Rye number 3. I'm going to get you a bottle before it comes out this time. You and I can talk about it, and then it'll come up. I promise. Realms of Rye 3 is coming out. That's the third in the series. There'll be five total. We're exploring the areas of the flavor wheel that rye doesn't normally fall into. Number one, citrus and botanicals. That's the one you got right there. The rye whiskey of the year, actually. That bottle's a big deal.
And the box of the year.
And the box of the year. Yeah, it weighs more than the bottle.
Because you won the container award. I mean, you're known for your boxes, your glasses, your containers. So never mind. Never mind.
We cut down one tree per box. That's how much we love you. And it's a small tree, a very small tree. And number two, dark fruit and cacao. Red cherry, big dark chocolate notes. Number three is going to be in the wheelhouse of green flavor. It's going to be like eucalyptus, spearmint, lots of forest florals, that sort of thing. We're just finalizing the label right now. It should be out in a month, 6 weeks.
Okay, so here's the thing. And all of us are waiting for the day when the other foot drops and you become the whiskey voice of the Canucks or the World Cup or something. Not happening, huh?
Oh, I got a really good friend who's like the official gin of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
I just love that. I think it's hilarious. Probably not happening soon. Probably not happening soon. The biggest problem is I'm a cheap bastard, those things, you know, they don't just give them away.
Okay. Will you be here for the Whiskey Awards in January?
100%, yeah.
To accept your award?
No, to hang out with you.
Yeah. I'll be hanging with you. I need a place to sleep. Did I ask all of these questions that I paid big money for? How's last question? And it's a serious business of this, because this is your career, your life. How's the business? How's the state of the business, whiskey and spirits in general? Because I see a lot of startups.
It dawned on me. Are we on the radio right now? Are we recording this right now?
Yes, we are.
Okay, that's okay. Very recently, it dawned on me that there are only two distilleries in Vancouver who haven't shut down or haven't sold. And one of them is Liberty on Granville Island.
Right.
God bless them. Sons of Vancouver. The state of the industry is not very good. Mm. If we were still keeping the lights on with vodka and amaretto and chili vodka, there would be a very big problem. In 2019, we made a very concerted effort to move into whiskey production.
Yeah.
All of that production is coming online now. And more so every year. So next year we'll try to increase our production about 50% if the barrels are ready and everything works out. That has been, it's been a tremendous windfall for us. The awards as well. People really seem to love it, the customers. But if we were still dealing in like clear spirits, as we call them, we probably would be sleeping quite as well at night. That's for sure. Yeah, okay. It's pretty tough out there.
I was with you from first read. But the first time I see one of you guys in a suit, I'm out. I'm out.
Good thing you're not coming to my wedding.
Oh. Well, you have to. There are some writers.
I'll send you a photo. I'll send you a photo.
Thank you very much. And when is that wedding?
October 4th in Ucluelet.
No kidding. Yuki!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Yuki.
Will you have dinner at Pluvio?
We're not doing that well.
It's a small room.
Yeah. Well, you probably got to book a lot further.
You do. And you have to move along, but you can't. Anyway, listen, congratulations all around. Okay.
Thank you very much, Terry.
So for those of us who want to get a hold of you and find that whiskey, find your releases, what's that website?
Sonsofvancouver.ca. Go onto the website, sign up to the mailing list. That is the best way to get your hands on whiskey before they come up. As soon as you get the email, jump on the website. Don't wait a day.
Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Have yourself a great run up to Christmas and whatever the next tomorrow brings. That's all.
Oh, my God. You too. I'll see you in January.
Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Estate Winery on the Naramata Bench. Tasting Room hours at Hillside daily noon to 6 p.m. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 11:30 to 2:30 and 5 to 8:30. Some of the events coming up, a pottery workshop on November the 8th. Wreath Workshop, November the 9th, and Holidays at Hillside Winterfest, November 21st and 22nd. You can find all the details for Hillside Winery and Bistro at hillsidewinery.ca.